بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Today we begin another topic in Al-Tahawi's Creed. And so Al-Tahawi rahimahullah, after discussing the issue of the Hawd, which we discussed over the previous two lessons, and the Hawd is one of the affairs or one of the issues that the people will come across on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment. It is from the affairs of the unseen. So Al-Tahawi rahimahullah, after discussing that, after mentioning that issue, he then mentions another issue again which will take place on the Day of Judgment, and it is the issue of intercession. Ash-shafa'ah, intercession. So he says, وَالشَّفَاعَةُ الَّتِي إِدَّخَرَهَا لَهُمْ حَقٌ كَمَا رُوِيَ فِي الْأَخْبَارِ. That the intercession which he has kept for them, وَالشَّفَاعَةُ الَّتِي إِدَّخَرَهَا لَهُمْ, that he has kept for them, meaning in the hereafter, is true and real. حَقٌ, true and real. Just as has been reported in the narrations. Exactly as has been narrated or reported in the narrations. So as usual, inshallah, we will go through the brief commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, and then we will expand in some detail with the commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Sheikh. That will be in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. But for today, we begin with what Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan comments. So he says that ash-shafa'ah, intercession, is from one of the very important issues of aqidah that we give attention to. And this, the reason is because numerous people have gone astray in this topic, in this field. There are two groups who have gone astray, one who exaggerated in the issue of intercession, and the other who basically they denied, or they, you know, they denied intercession, or they made light the issue of intercession. And then there, of course, is the middle path, which is the path of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So inshallah, we will look at each of these three positions. As for the first, then there is a people who exaggerated in affirming intercession until they began to ask intercession from the dead, from the graves, from the idols, from the trees, from the stones. So they began to seek intercession from these affairs, be they trees, stones, jinn, men, angels, you know, whatever, or what they believe. In this regard, Allah says, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يُضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That they worship besides Allah that which will neither harm them nor benefit them, and they say, these are our intercessors with Allah. Surah Yunus, Surah 10, verse 18. And likewise, in another ayah, Allah says about them that they say, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَا إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. That we do not worship them except that they may bring us closer to Allah. So this is the reason or the argument that these people are seeking intercession from others besides Allah. Another group on the other side, they denied intercession, and they are the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. And the reason for that we will explain a little later, inshallah ta'ala, in the lesson. The Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. So what they basically said is that they denied that those people who commit major sins, the kaba'ir, those who commit major sins, they denied that intercession is applicable to those people. To those who die, having not repented from major sins, having committed major sins, not made tawbah, and they die. So the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij claim that these people will not receive intercession. And as a result, they opposed many of the evidences that we know, which have come through tawatur, meaning through large-scale transmission from the messenger, from the companions, and from evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, you know, which opposes this particular view of theirs. And as for the middle group, the group who is upon the middle path, the correct path, Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, then they affirm intercession, they believe in intercession, that it will take place on Yawmul Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, and they base their position upon the texts, upon the Quran, upon the Sunnah, upon what has come in the narrations regarding those unseen affairs that are to take place on Yawmul Qiyamah. So they have a middle path. So these are the three groups. So what is the meaning of Ash-Shafa'a? What is the definition of Ash-Shafa'a? The word Ash-Shafa'a, Shafa'atun, is taken from another word, which is Shafa'a. Shafa'a. Shafa'a means even, that which is even. And it is the opposite of odd, that which is odd. So al-witr, when we say al-witr, al-witr means that which is odd. And ash-shafa' is anything which is more than one, which is witr, but it is even. So for example, 2, 4, 6, and so on and so forth. And this is what we refer to as ash-shafa', ash-shafa'. And it is referred to as, you know, that which occurs in pairs. Ash-shafa'. So ash-shafa' means a pair. And you know, it can be one pair, two pairs, three pairs, and so forth. But al-witr is that which is on its own. So this is the linguistic meaning. This is what we mean in the language by the word ash-shafa'. But in the Sharia, what we mean by the word shafa'a is explained by the fact that when you have two parties, there are two parties. So let's say, for example, you have a person who has a need, and then you have another person who can fulfill the need. So now we have two parties involved here. So here it is shafa'. Here it is even, things are even. The one who has the need and the one who can fulfill the need. So when we use the word shafa'a in the Sharia, then it means that another person comes along. A third person comes along and he tries to help one of those people to have his needs fulfilled by interceding on his behalf and going to the other person, the second person. Right? So basically, in essence, he is kind of acting for the benefit of the first person who has a need. So he goes to the second person and basically acts on his behalf. And tries to argue on his behalf and tries to convince that second person that, you know, please fulfill his need. This is what we call an intercession. This is ash-shafa'a. And so what it means is that someone intervenes or mediates or intercedes, gets involved in the fulfillment of the needs. Right? There are those who have needs and there are those who can fulfill the needs. And so a person comes along and he plays the role in the middle, you know, to try and fulfill the actual need. So now that we understand the meaning of shafa'a, then shafa'a, when we speak of it, we can look at it from two angles. The first angle is the shafa'a as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first type. And the second type is the shafa'a which relates to that which is between the creation. The intercession which takes place between the creation. So we have two types. Intercession that involves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and intercession that is between the creation. Just between the creation. So as for the shafa'a, let's discuss the shafa'a which is amongst the creation. Then this itself is of two types. This shafa'a is itself of two types. There is the shafa'a which we call hasana. Shafa'atun hasana. The good shafa'a. And this is when intercession takes place in those things which are permissible and which are beneficial for the people. And this is when, for example, you get involved in order to help the needs of the people to become fulfilled. A person has a need, right? You know someone who can fulfill that need. Then you go to that person on behalf of the first person. You convince him, you advise him to help. So then he helps. So now your shafa'a is a shafa'a hasana. It is a good shafa'a. And this is something mentioned in the Quran. Allah says, "من يشفع شفاعة حسنة يكون له نصيب منها." That whoever made a good intercession, whoever made a good intercession. So in other words, so whoever got involved in a good intercession and some goodness came about for somebody on account of it, then that person will have a portion of that reward. He will have a portion of the reward of that goodness which came about. So in this ayah, Allah says that whoever makes a good intercession, then he will have a portion of that. Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, verse number 85. And likewise, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith which is reported by Bukhari and Muslim, "Ishfa'u tu'jaru." Intercede and you will be rewarded. Intercede and you will be rewarded. And the hadith continues, and Allah judges upon the tongue of His Messenger whatever He wills. So in the first part He said, intercede and you shall be rewarded. So this is what we refer to as the Shafa'a Hasana. It contains a reward because it brings about benefit for the Muslims and in fulfilling their needs and in helping them to acquire the things which will be of benefit to them, to their deen, to their livelihood, to whatever else. So these kind of things happen all the these things happen all the time, and this is something permissible and is something which is commanded in the Quran and something for which a person shares in the reward if he is the intercessor and the interceder. And of course, you know that in this example, in this situation, the one who intercedes doesn't need the permission of the one who can fulfill the need. He just goes to him and says, "Look, can you help this person? Can you do this? Can you do this?" There is no permission involved. He just goes to him and asks him. And you know, this is how it works. This is between the creation. That's the first type. The second type of intercession that takes place between the creation is the shafa'a sayyi'a, the evil intercession. The evil intercession. And this is when a person gets involved in things which are haram, which are unlawful, either to attain something unlawful or to stop something which is obligatory from being fulfilled, right? So as an example of this is, say for example, somebody gets caught committing one of the crimes for which there is a punishment in the Sharia, okay? There is a punishment in the Sharia for those crimes. Either it could be, you know, stealing, it could be adultery, it could be whatever else, it could be, you know, something for which there is a specific had in the Sharia. So now someone comes along and he tries to argue with the qadi or the judge or whoever and says, "Look, please let this person off." And now he tries to make shafa'ah. He tries to intercede on behalf of the person who committed this crime. This is what we call a shafa'ah sayyi'ah. Because the had cannot be abolished. The had, meaning the prescribed punishment, it cannot be abolished. So therefore, this is an example of a shafa'a which is evil. And in this regard, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a statement. He said, "La'ana Allahu man awa muhdithan." La'ana Allahu man awa muhdithan. That the curse of Allah be upon the one who gave shelter to one who introduces something into, you know, who introduces something. And this is in the context, as the scholars explain, of someone who tries to abolish a had from being established upon a person who deserves that had, that punishment being established upon him. And likewise, another example of this is when someone makes a shafa'a, he intercedes in order to violate the rights of other people. So he intercedes with another person. So let's say, for example, the first person has a need. So Abdullah has a need. And then another person comes along, then he goes to Zayd. Zayd is the second person. He says, look, Abdullah has a need. Can you go and, you know, maybe steal something from someone or take something from someone? And can you go and, you know, help him out with something? So now it involves something haram and it involves taking the right of somebody else. So anything which involves the right of violating the right of anybody else, this again is a shafa'a, sayyi'ah, an evil shafa'a. Anything which involves haram or taking the right from someone, away from someone, and giving it to somebody else who doesn't deserve it, all of this is a type of intercession, you know, which is evil. And in this regard, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاءَةً سَيِّئَةً يَكُنْ لَهُ كِفْلٌ مِّنْهَا. That whoever makes an evil intercession, he will have a portion of the burden thereof. He will have a portion of the burden thereof. Surah An-Nisa, verse 85. So this is shafa'a as it relates amongst the people, between the people. As for the shafa'a, which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is unlike the shafa'a which takes place between the people. It is unlike the shafa'a. And so it's not that it doesn't happen in the same way. It's not the same thing. So a person simply can't, you know, like on Yawmul Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, the prophets won't simply just go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of their own accord and start interceding. And likewise, in the life of this world, a person can't just simply start, you know, arguing or making a shafa'a on behalf of someone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't work in the same way, because the creator is unlike the created. And so shafa'a, as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it mean? It carries another meaning different to the meaning for what it is for the creation. The meaning of shafa'a as it relates to Allah is as follows. It is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he honors somebody from his creation. He honors someone. He gives the honor to somebody in the sense that he decrees or he allows somebody else to make dua for him, to call upon Allah for him, to make dua for him in order to remove some punishment from him. This is the meaning of shafa'a as it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah, this is what it means. That Allah will honor a person. So let's say there's a person called Abdullah. Abdullah comes on the Day of Judgment. He's committed many sins. Okay, he's awaiting judgment. So Allah will now confer a benefit upon Abdullah. A benefit and a favor upon Abdullah in that he will allow another person, another Muslim, perhaps from the prophets, perhaps from the believers, perhaps from the angels, perhaps from the different categories. That person will then intercede. He will call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask that this person be forgiven, to ask that this person not enter hellfire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept or reject that intercession. If it fulfills the conditions, Allah will accept the intercession. This is what it means when we speak of shafa'a with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, and there's a difference. We said that the shafa'a, as it occurs between the creation, is one person just goes to another person without his permission, just goes straight to him, asks him, you know, advises him, encourages him, and so on and so forth. This is the meaning of shafa'a with the creation. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not like that. And so with Allah, shafa'a is as we described it. So as long as a person is a muwahid, he is a person who is upon Tawheed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will accept the intercession, he will accept the dua, he will accept the intercession of the one who is interceding, and he will forgive that person, or he will not enter him into hellfire, even though he was deserving of hellfire. Or he may remove someone from the hellfire who had already entered the hellfire. Okay, so this is what we mean by shafa'a as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawmul Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment. So this shafa'a has a number of conditions for it to be fulfilled. The first condition is, as we've already seen, it is by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أن تكون بإذن الله. It is by the permission. Al-Idhn. It is by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is the one who will grant permission for the one who is interceding to intercede. Now this, what this means, this we can speak of this in two contexts. The first one is in the life of this world, because we know that intercession takes place in the life of this world between the creation. So Allah, from al-qada wal-qadar, He has decreed that people supplicate for other people. Because supplication is essentially dua. Ash-shafa'atu is dua. One person makes dua for another person. And so Allah has decreed that people make dua for other people. This takes place all the time. So this is something that Allah has permitted in the Sharia, and it is something that He has permitted by way of His irada kawniya, meaning that He has permitted it to happen by way of His will by which things happen. And likewise, by way of His will in the Sharia, He has commanded this as well in the Sharia. Right? So that's as it relates to affairs in this world. So this is very clear. And an example of this is the funeral prayer. Because the funeral prayer is actually a form of shafa'a, which is commanded in the Sharia. And we see that in the hadith, in Sahih Muslim, there are a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha and others, where they say that never does a person die and 40 people pray over him from the people of Tawheed, except that Allah accepts their intercession. And in another hadith, it mentions 100 from the people of Tawheed, except that Allah accepts their intercession. The word used is intercession, shafa'a. So this shows that there are things which Allah has commanded, which He has given His permission for, in one sense or the other sense, or in both senses. In one sense, we mean that in the Sharia He's commanded it, so the Sharia permission is there. And in the second sense, that Allah wills that it actually happens and take place. So His permission in that sense as well. So this is in the life of this world, and in the hereafter, when the shafa'a takes place, which is the shafa'a that we are speaking of, then no one will intercede unless Allah gives His permission for them to intercede. No one will be allowed to intercede for anybody else. No one will be allowed to ask, "Oh Allah, please don't enter that person to hellfire. Oh Allah, please take that person out of hellfire. Oh Allah, please, whatever." No one will be allowed to make any intercession except with His permission. Allah will give express permission. So this is the first condition on Yawmul Qiyamah. But as for in this world, then it is the way that we explained, that there are things in the Sharia which Allah has ordered and commanded, and then Allah allows those things to take place. So He wills from His decree that Abdullah makes dua for Zayd, and Zayd makes dua for Abdullah, and so on and so forth. Then all of this is from the shafa'a, which is in the life of this world. So Allah says, "Man ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه." Who is there who will intercede except with His permission? Surah says, Ayatul Kursi, Surah 2, verse 225. So again, this makes the shafa'a different to how it takes place amongst the creation, because here, a person must have the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike how it takes place between the creation when they try to fulfill each other's needs, they just go and ask anybody, and this is how it works. The second condition is, for this shafa'a to be acceptable to Allah, is that the one for whom intercession is being made, he must be from the people of Tawheed. He must be from the people of Iman, someone who is a believer and a person of Tawheed, from those whose speech and action Allah is actually pleased with. Allah must be pleased with that person's speech and action. Allah says in the Quran, "Wala yashfa'una illa liman irtada," that they do not intercede except for the one for whom Allah is pleased with. Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah 21, verse number 28. And likewise, in another ayah, Allah says, "Illa min ba'di an ya'adhan Allahu liman yasha'u wa yarda." That except after Allah has given His permission for the one whom He wills and is pleased with. So He mentioned two things here: the permission, and likewise the Allah being pleased. Two conditions are mentioned in the same ayah. Surah An-Najm, Surah 53, verse number 26. So, permission of Allah is one condition, and secondly, the Allah being pleased with the one whom you are trying to benefit, the one whom you are interceding for, then Allah must be pleased with that person. He has to be a muwahid, a person of tawheed, a person of iman. As for the kafir, then shafa'ah will not benefit that person, as Allah says, "فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِئِينَ." That the intercession of those who intercede will not benefit them at all, will not benefit the kuffar. Verse 48 of Surah Al-Muddathir, Surah 74, verse 48. And likewise, Allah says, "مَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَلَا شَفِيعٍ يُطَاعٍ." That the wrongdoers, ظالمين here meaning كافرين, meaning those who are the disbelievers. مَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ, of any close friend, وَلَا شَفِيعٍ يُطَاع. That there will not be any close friend, nor one who intercedes who will be obeyed, who is obeyed. Surah Ghafir, Surah 40, verse 18. So we see that in the Quran, there are two types of shafa'ah which are mentioned, which are clearly mentioned. A type of shafa'ah which Allah denies and rejects, and which is negated, which will take place but which will not be of any benefit. And there is a shafa'ah which is something that is acceptable to Allah, which is affirmed and accepted. And this is the one which has the conditions fulfilled. And so, as we said, the kafir will not be benefited by any intercession, by the intercession of anybody. Even if all of the people of the heavens and all the people of the earth were to make intercession, then it would not be acceptable for a person who is devoid of iman and who is not a muwahid. And because the mushrik, this person is a mushrik, kafir, and Allah is not pleased with his speech and his action, so no shafa'ah will be made. As for the example of the shafa'ah of the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is an exception. Abu Talib, he died upon disbelief. However, we know that in the text, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be allowed to intercede for him, and this is from the angle that the punishment of this man will be reduced, because he was someone who in his lifetime he aided and supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even though he did not believe in the Prophet, he aided, because it was his nephew, he aided him, he supported him, he protected him from the Quraysh, and he had many instances in which he helped and aided the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So for that reason, the messenger will intercede for his punishment to be reduced, and his punishment will be reduced. Okay, so this is the types of intercession. Now we come to the forms of intercession which will actually take place on Yawmul Qiyamah. And again, there are some of these types which are unique and specific only to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will discuss them first. And there are some which are shared between all of the prophets and the angels and the believers. They will partake in this intercession as well as the prophets. So as for the one which are unique to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they are as follows. First of all, his intercession, this is when the people will be standing on Yawmul Qiyamah, as we mentioned in the previous lesson with respect to the Hawd, that the people will be standing on Yawmul Qiyamah, and the issue will, the affair will be very, very severe and heavy upon them. The sun will be close, will be extremely hot, and they will be in awe, they will be fearful in that position. and they will be waiting. And so they will be waiting and waiting and waiting, and they will wish that someone may come along and intercede for them with Allah, that Allah begin the judgment, that Allah begin the judgment, and to take them away from having to wait in this place, which, you know, where they will be filled with awe and fear and so on and so forth, and it will be very, very hard upon them. So the intensity of just standing there, they will want to be relieved of it, whether it's hellfire or whether it's paradise, and they will want to, you know, be taken away from this, the terror of waiting in this position, you know, alongside all the things that will be like a hardship upon them. So they will go to Adam alayhi salam, and Adam alayhi salam will excuse himself, and then they will go to Musa alayhi salam. They will go to Nuh alayhi salam, and he was the first messenger. He will excuse himself. Then they will go to Musa, the Kaleem of Allah. He will excuse himself. Then they will go to Isa. He will excuse himself. And then they will come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they basically go to the various prophets. And then when they come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will say, ana laha, that this is for me, this is for me. Because the messenger knows that this is a position and a role which has been reserved for him. And so then he will come and he will make sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he will praise him and extol him and will supplicate to Allah. And then it will be said to him that raise your head, ask and you shall be given, and intercede and your intercession will be accepted. So here this now is permission given to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to intercede for other people. Notice that the messenger did not begin intercession of his own accord. Rather, he praised Allah, glorified Allah, made dua to Allah. Then he was given the permission to now intercede and to ask Allah for the benefit of other people. So then after having making dua and seeking permission, he will be seeking permission, he will be given the permission to make shafa'a. And as we've seen, all of this occurs by the fact that he will mention Allah's names and make tawassul to Allah by way of Allah's names and his attributes, and making dua to Allah and making prostration to Allah, and then asking permission to be allowed to intercede. And once all this has taken place, he will then be granted permission to intercede. Then he will ask Allah to commence the judgment between the people, or the judgment of the people. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, Kalla idha dukkati al-ardu dakkan dakka wa ja'a rabbuka wal malaku saffan saffa. That no, nay by, on that day when the earth will be shattered into dust, and then your Lord will come along with the angels, ranks upon ranks. Surah Al-Fajr, verses 21 to 28. Surah 89, verses 21 to 22. And likewise, Allah says in another ayah, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. Are they waiting for anything but that Allah should come to them upon shades of clouds and angels, and likewise the angels, and that the affair be judged between them, that the affair be judged. So these verses are referring to when Allah will arrive, Allah will come after the intercession has been made by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to begin the intercession, and Allah will come, Allah will arrive to commence the judgment between the creation. And this position of the messenger, this is what we call the greatest intercession, ash-shafa'atul uzma. This is the greatest intercession. This is what the messenger has been given, which is called al-maqamul mahmud. Al-maqamul mahmud. And this is what is referred to in the Quran. Allah says, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَحَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَحَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. That from the night, exert therein in worship. Strive therein in worship. Out of, you know, nafila, meaning voluntary worship. Perhaps Allah will raise you to a lofty station. Maqama mahmuda. This maqama mahmuda being mentioned here in this ayah is this position of asking intercession on behalf of the people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he commenced the judgment. This is what is referred to as the Maqam al-Mahmuda. And so this is a great and lofty position, as you can see. He said, in essence, the messenger is made the leader of mankind to make shafa'a. And this is something that Allah has ennobled him with and given him a position above and over all of the other prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so anyway, this is the first intercession unique to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second intercession is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will intercede with Allah to allow the people of paradise to enter paradise. That those who are deserving of paradise, that they actually be allowed to enter paradise. And the first person to open the gates of paradise will be the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will be the first person to enter. He will enter paradise, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith reported by Anas bin Malik, "Ana awwalu shafi'in fil jannah," that I am the first interceder in paradise, to be in paradise. And so he will be the first to open the door to enter. And we see in another a hadith reported by Anas bin Malik that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I will come to the gate of paradise on Yawmul Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, and I will seek it to be opened. I will ask it to be opened." And so the one who is guarding that gate and that door, he will say, "Who are you?" And he will say, "I am Muhammad." And then he will say, then that guard will say, "I have been commanded to not open it for anyone except for you. I have not been commanded to open it for anyone except for you alone." Reported by Muslim. So this is the second type of intercession, that the messenger intercedes, that the people of paradise be allowed to enter paradise. And so the messenger himself will be the first person in paradise, and then his ummah will be the first ummah amongst all of the nations to enter paradise. They will enter paradise first, then the other nations will enter paradise after them. So again, this is the second unique shafa'a for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third shafa'a unique to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he asks Allah to raise the ranks of the people of paradise. So the people who have now entered paradise, that their ranks be raised more than what they deserve, to be raised higher. So the Messenger will make shafa'a for a certain group of people, for some groups of people, that Allah raises their ranks in paradise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will therefore raise them by the shafa'a of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fourth shafa'a, which is unique to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the one that we mentioned earlier, his shafa'a for his uncle, his intercession for his uncle. And Abu Talib, he died upon shirk, and he died upon the deen of Abdul Muttalib, the deen of the forefathers, as a mushrik. He was a worshipper of idols. He died upon that. And he died upon the millah, the religion of Abdul Muttalib. And so he will become those who will be eternally in the fire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will accept the intercession, the intercession of the messenger will be granted, that the punishment will be reduced for him. And so what will happen is that he will be punished in a certain way by some flames beneath the feet or his soles or his feet. And he will think, which will then, he will think that this punishment is the most severe punishment from all the types of punishment. He will think there is no one being more severely punished than himself, even though this is a light form of punishment. So anyway, this is unique to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And finally, the other type of shafa'a is the shafa'a now which is combined for all of the people. It is not unique to the prophets, but the prophets will make this shafa'a, likewise the angels, likewise the believers, and likewise there'll be from those people that are mentioned, those people who died as children, before reaching the age of puberty, there are some narrations that they too will intercede. And so regarding them, we see that they will be able to intercede for different categories of people. First of all, those who deserve to enter hellfire. So they deserve to enter hellfire by their deeds, but then they will be interceded for, that they do not enter hellfire, that they be saved from hellfire. This is one type of intercession here. The second type of intercession, likewise, the one who has entered into Jahannam, hellfire, that he be removed from Jahannam. Right? So these two types of intercession, the one who deserves to enter into hellfire, that he not enter hellfire, and the one who has entered hellfire, that he now be taken out of it, these are for the, as I said, the prophets, angels, the believers, and others, it shared between them. And this was the intercession that was denied by the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. If you remember at the beginning of the lesson, we said that there were some groups who denied intercession. And the reason why they denied intercession, you probably have already figured it out, is that the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, they are of the view, that anyone who dies upon major sin, or who commits major sin, that he is a kafir. He is a disbeliever. He dies a disbeliever. And hellfire is binding for him for eternity. And so the Mu'tazila said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a threat, then he is the most truthful and he always fulfills his threat. And for that reason, someone who committed a major sin, they judged him as a disbeliever. And, you know, in the hereafter, they judge him as a disbeliever eternally in the hellfire. In the Khawarij, likewise. But as we know, that in the Quran, whenever Allah makes a promise, Allah never ever breaks his promise. His promise is always fulfilled. And whenever Allah makes a threat is a wa'id, and a promise is a wa'ad. The wa'ad of Allah is always promised, is always fulfilled. And the wa'id, which is Allah's threat, then it is not the case that Allah always fulfills his threat. Allah can make a threat, but Allah can withdraw the punishment or the threat. For whatever reasons, out of mercy, out of rahmah, out of wisdom, out of whatever, you know, the reasons there are. But the Mu'tazila, they wrongly claimed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must fulfill the threat. So if a believer commits a major sin, then, you know, the threat of Allah will definitely be established upon him. So this was the general idea that they were coming from. And on account of this, it led them to deny intercession. Because in the text, we know that, as we've seen, that the prophets and others other than them will intercede for the major sinners. Those who committed major sin and who deserve hellfire or have already entered into hellfire. So they could not accept this and they didn't agree with their beliefs. So this is the fifth type of intercession, and as we said, the angels will intercede, the prophets will intercede with this intercession, and likewise the awliya, the righteous people, the salihun, the pious people, and likewise the we see there are narrations in this regard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, a hadith Qudsi, in which the messenger said, so he describes certain things, and then he says, then Allah the Most High will say, شفعت الملائكة وشفع النبيون وشفع المؤمنون, that the angels have interceded, and the prophets have interceded, and the believers have interceded, and no one remains, ولم يبقى إلا أرحم الراحمين, and no one remains except the most merciful of those who are merciful. So meaning now Allah, it's now Allah, he will... you know, and so then Allah will take out a group from the fire, and so a people will be taken out from the fire who never did any good, and then they had, you know, they turned into coals on account of the fire, and so they will be thrown into a river at the foot, at the mouth of paradise, or at the mouth of paradise, and it is called the river of life. Right. So this hadith is in Muslim. It's a proof to show that the prophets, angels, and righteous people will be interceding on Yawmul Qiyamah. And so with this hadith, we understand that this is a type of intercession which is shared between all the people. And with this, we come to an end, or we come to a close of the commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafizahullah. And so what we'll do, inshallah, we'll conclude our lesson here today, and some of the more detailed issues we will discuss in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala, which will probably be in 3 or 4 weeks now. Yeah, which will be in a month's time, inshallah ta'ala. Which will be in 4 weeks, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, if there are any questions on anything that's been said in the lesson, we have some time for that. Otherwise, we will wrap up there, inshallah.
You know, towards the end, you said about the people who make those who were the shifa is not unique to the Prophet or something, but they make shifa for people who enter to the hellfire. Mm-hmm. They make dua that they be removed.
Mm-hmm.
Is this again only the Muslims are going to be in the fires that are only making supplication for
Muslims? That's right, yeah. The shafa'a for those who enter hellfire is only for, obviously, for the Muslims. Yeah. So those who entered hellfire, the shafa'a can only be for those who are people of tawheed, people of iman, because they will not be remaining there in forever. But no shafa'a can be made for a, as we said, a disbeliever to exit. No. Well. Let's make a distinction first of all. Those people who ascribe to Islam and they are upon major shirk, that they're upon, they commit kufr and major shirk, then with respect to them, and they die upon that shirk and they die upon that disbelief and the hujjah is established upon them, then they will not, intercession will not apply to them. Intercession is not for them. As for those who die in a state of ignorance, where ignorance may be an excuse for them, then that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will judge regarding those people. We don't know their affair. Allah will judge regarding those people. And as for the sects, those sects which do not enter amongst into disbelief, those who are still within the fold of Islam, then shafa'a is applicable to them, of course. And they only have the threat of hellfire. So when we say that the 72 sects are in the hellfire, it means that everyone who departs from what the messenger was upon, what the companions were upon, the threat of hellfire looms over them. Okay, now, that threat of hellfire can be removed by certain other factors, such as, for example, the piety of that person, good deeds of that person, tribulations that person went to. So in other words, those people who are from the sects of Islam who do not exit from Islam, so their innovation isn't something which involves shirk or kufr, then we say that they are threatened with the hellfire and they are in grave danger, and there can be certain things which can remove them from that threat, depending on their piety, righteousness, and tribulations they faced, and so on and so forth. And so all of that together, you know, will determine, you know, will do they deserve paradise? Do they deserve hellfire? Do they deserve paradise without punishment? All these things will be looked at. So we say about those people, yes, the shafa'a applies to them. Of course it does, yes. The shafa'a is applicable to them.
Just a second question. You know, the position of the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, they say that Muhammad's a threat, he must carry it out. Do they then hold the same position with the promise? They say that when Allah makes a promise that he keeps it, or do they do the reverse?
No, that's agreed upon. The issue of Allah's promise is not under dispute. So that isn't a problem. Allah's promise, Allah is the most truthful, and Allah fulfills all of His promises. And the reason why they got mixed up and confused is because, first of all, knowing that Allah is the most truthful, and knowing that Allah makes threats and promises, they basically claimed that because Allah speaks the truth and because He makes a threat, that threat must befall. It absolutely, inevitably must take place. So they assume this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is incorrect, because Allah can make a threat, yet withdraw that threat. For, you know, on account of His attributes of mercy and wisdom and whatever else. You know, so what they did was they took some of the Quran and they left some of the Quran. They believed in part of the Quran and they left other parts of the Quran. Like what the Khawarij did. The Khawarij, they took the verses of wa'id, of punishment, and they left the verses that mention Allah's promise. You know, they took some verses which mention Allah's punishment and they left those verses which mention Allah's forgiveness and mercy. And so that's what they did, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, that they, you know, only took isolated parts of the Quran and left other parts of the Quran. So they erred in their understanding. Okay, inshallah, we'll close the lesson there. We'll take it up, inshallah, in the next lesson in more detail, the issues of shafa'ah in more detail, inshallah ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa jazakum Allahu khairan.